You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Made it to a Friday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Climb on board, hold on for dear life, and stay as long as you like. Booger McFarland from the Mothership will join us coming up. Derek Carr's brother, David Carr, will join us a little bit later on. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk is all fired up about taunting. He'll join us a little bit later on as well. Phone calls, operator Marvin standing by, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle, @DP Show. Say good morning to Peacock. That's our streaming partner. Make sure you download the app. You can watch for free all 3 hours in our radio affiliates around the country. Today's the last day to take advantage of Paul's birthday. Happy birthday to Paul today. Go to danpatrick.com. Two t-shirts, $49. Plus, check out the limited edition tailgate package that we have that includes a handwritten note from me. Boy, that'll raise the value. That's danpatrick.com. Play of the day, stat of the day, poll question, all of that forthcoming. We've talked about this before. Running backs don't really factor into the MVP race anymore. Adrian Peterson did it back in 2012, but he's an outlier. Couple of backs get into the discussion. Derrick Henry, rightfully so. But if you're looking for value at that position, Christian McCaffrey has been your guy. He makes an impact on almost every down because he's either running it or catching out of the backfield. Last night, pulled his hamstring. The Panthers still managed to come away with the win, but it might come at a cost. Up until last season, McCaffrey had been really durable. But in 2020, he missed 13 games. He had an ankle injury, shoulder, and thigh injury. And hopefully it's not the beginning of a trend here. McCaffrey is putting together a great career. He just hasn't won, hasn't really been in big games. But the Panthers seem to be in the right direction. I like their head coach, Sam Darnold, getting revitalized here. That defense is really good. So it'll be a whole lot easier if you have the ball in Christian McCaffrey's hands. But you start to wonder about this. I don't like giving a running back, a first-round pick, a second contract. And Derrick Henry is really, he and Christian McCaffrey are going to put this to the test. You've got a lot of mileage here. But I always look back to college. How much mileage did you have in college? Christian McCaffrey had a lot of mileage back at Stanford. He was a kick returner, punt returner, catching the ball out of the backfield. He'd have 300-plus carries. Here is his head coach, Matt Rhule, on Christian's injury last night.
Christian strained his hamstring. I don't know the severity level of it yet, to be quite honest with you. But I knew the minute it happened, they said, hey, he's out for the game. So that's all I knew. I just saw him in there. You know, he's moving around, but he's, you know, obviously, have to wait and see kind of MRI maybe or something to see, you know, see what the severity is.
McLevin, what kind of touches the numbers for McCaffrey last year?
Okay, so last year he only played three games because he had multiple injuries. 2019, he led the NFL with 403 touches and had 2,392 yards from scrimmage. The year before that, he had 326 touches in 2018, which was way up there. That was his second year. He was only 22 years old. And this year, he was already leading the league in touches coming into this game and was doing very well. Not to mention, you know, as you mentioned in college, he ran for 2,000 yards as a sophomore, 1,600 yards as a junior, and also had over 1,000 yards receiving in his career.
Yeah, there's only so many carries your body has. There are guys who have been outliers that they, Emmitt Smith, I mean, go figure with that. But you got a running back has, it feels like a shelf life of maybe 7 years. But you get them, you pay them, you use them. Now Carolina has to limit his touches. You're paying him because of what he does for you. Now you're going to have to limit that as you move forward with Christian McCaffrey. It doesn't make sense for me. And I understand Christian McCaffrey is the face of the franchise. But still, can I use him as much as I want to use him? And the answer is no, you're not going to be able to. And I went back and I was looking at the number of touches that a lot of these running backs have. Do you realize that in 2007, there was a running back at Central Florida who had 450. Is this touches, Paulie?
That's carries.
Carries.
Is that Kevin Smith?
Kevin Smith from Central Florida had 450 carries 1 year. Marcus Allen at USC, 433.
Going back to Kevin Smith then, he got drafted by the Lions. I think he was a second or third rounder. He played 2 years and he's out of football.
These are the all-time records. Lorenzo White at Michigan State. By the way, if you want to carry the ball, go to Michigan State, because I'm going to guess Michigan State has three of the top 10 carries single season. Lorenzo White, I know, is there. Javon Ringer had 390 at Michigan State. Le'Veon Bell, 382. That's a lot of carries. Darnell Autry at Northwestern, 387. Now, these are 12 games, not 16. It's a lot of wear and tear. A lot of wear and tear. And it eventually catches up with you. And Christian McCaffrey, maybe this is just a little speed bump, a little hiccup here. But eventually, you're going to look at this contract and probably go, just like the Cowboys are. Zeke Elliott's not the same football player. Those first 3 years, he touched the ball an awful lot. Tony Pollard makes more sense because he doesn't cost me anything. By the way, is Memphis the new running back you? Have you looked at the number of running backs in the NFL recently from Memphis? Google that. You're going to find, I'm going to guess, four or five running backs. And you probably have one there now who's going to be in the NFL. Memphis might be running back you. Yes, McLovin.
Antonio Gibson, Washington, didn't even make the rosters. He was a wide receiver. They had to move him over. And he's the starting running back for Washington.
I know. Yes, Paulie.
Yeah, I think you got at least four. Darrell Henderson and the Rams, Tony Pollard, Antonio Gibson, Kenneth Gainwell of the Eagles.
Yeah.
Remember D'Angelo Williams a few years ago?
Kenneth Gainwell's good. They like him in Philly.
Yeah.
And I never heard of him coming in.
And they Memphis probably has a really good running back this year. You'd never think Memphis, you know, that's where you find great running back. You find probably undervalued running backs. Yeah, McLovin.
And now you'll find the, well, how do I say it? The most highly celebrated high school basketball players are all going to Memphis next year.
Oh, I know. Penny Hardaway's done an incredible job getting those kids there. Come on in. And he even says the name, image, and likeness is part of the reason why they're going there. Yeah, Paulie.
It seems like over the years, Oklahoma and Georgia are always very good running back schools. There'll always be someone there up for the Heisman. Georgia at one time, I think their backfield was so deep. Nick Chubb couldn't get on the field sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, remember Isaiah Crowell?
Yeah.
I think he had a transfer. You know, Oklahoma, the same thing. I mean, remember, was it Oklahoma State that year? They had Spencer Tillman and Barry Sanders came in. Like,
No, that was Thurman Thomas.
Thurman Thomas and Barry Sanders in the same backfield?
That's the famous line by Barry Switzer. It's like, whatever you do, do not hurt Thurman Thomas. When Oklahoma played Oklahoma State, because he knew Barry Sanders was the freshman and he didn't want to face Barry Sanders. I mean, Oklahoma used to stockpile running backs. You know, they had so many of them down through the years. Ohio State has always had that. Yes, McLovin.
Do you remember like the 01-02 Hurricanes? They were deep at every position. But at one point, they had Portis, McGahee, Gore, Jared Payton, and I think two other pro running backs in their backfield.
I don't know who's had the deepest running back roster.
This is the greatest conversation. Is this a gift to me? This is the greatest conversation.
This is your Friday birthday gift, Paulie.
I can talk college running backs all day.
But for one season, the greatest running back depth chart for a university. Paulie, that's your assignment today.
Fantastic.
Yes. You don't have to do anything else. Yes, McLovin.
Can I do wide receivers while he's looking up? Because Ellis, what was it? Clemson had Nuke Hopkins, Sammy Watkins, seven other NFL players in their wide receiver
group. If you want to. I mean, Fritzy usually takes Fridays off, so you guys might as well take Fridays off. Yes, Paul.
I got the 2001 Miami Hurricanes. Willis McGahee, Najee Davenport, Clinton Portis, Frank Gore, Jarrett Payton. Four of those guys rushed for 1,000 yards in their pro careers at some point.
It is a Meat Friday, in case you're wondering, if you live vicariously through us with our Traeger grill. Buffalo chicken thighs, fried chicken, bacon cheddar baby potatoes. Who has it better than we do?
Nobody.
877-3DP-SHOW. Carolina's defense, I know it's not exciting, and I told you this at the end of the show yesterday. Get ready for verbal bouquets for that Carolina defense. It's you know, you're facing the Texans. You're facing a rookie quarterback. Panthers have allowed 30 points through the first three games. Fewest by the franchise through three games since 2002. Also, 42 yards rushing to the Texans. They've allowed less than 50 yards rushing in each of the first three games. Last time, now, this is the company that Carolina is going to be able to keep. Last time that happened, 2019 Patriots, 2006 Ravens, and the 1957 Colts as the only teams in NFL history to do that.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that
what?
Stat of the day.
By the way, Memphis running back is Braden Thomas. He's third in the nation in rushing this year with 421 yards. I'm going to guess we're going to see Braden Thomas in the NFL. It's running back you at Memphis. Yes, Paulie?
I got this Miami Hurricanes roster from 01, and it's staggering. I think they have at least four Hall of Famers, NFL Hall of Famers on the roster. I've just got to throw out some names. Jonathan Vilma. Oh, my gosh. Antrell Roll, Mike Rumpf, Sean Taylor, Philip Buchanan all started in the NFL at defensive back. Jerome McDougal played in the NFL. Santonio Thomas, Vince Wilfork, Ed Reed, Hall of Famer. That's just the defense.
Yeah.
Then they got on offense, Andre Johnson, the wide receiver. This is nuts. All those running backs I mentioned.
You know.
Golly.
Yeah. But what do they have now at the U? Brandon Thomas. A little typo there. Yeah, the ooh. And that stupid turnover chain. You know, you're down by 28 and you have a turnover and you're like, oh, I'm going to put on the turnover chain. Put it away. There should be a, if you're only trailing by 14 or less, then you can use the turnover chain. Yes, Paul.
Jeremy Shockey, Kellen Winslow Jr.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yes, McLovin.
Has there ever been a team with more talent who had a more benign quarterback than Ken Dorsey, by the way?
Yeah.
All you needed was like, hey, just go out there and don't screw it up.
Yeah. Gino Toretta. Same. Did Miami ever have a really, Jim Kelly went to Miami.
That was
Bernie Kosar, Vinny Testaverde. But I don't know who was really highly recruited because Jim Kelly, Penn State, wanted to make him a linebacker. And he said, no, I want to play quarterback, and he went to Miami. I don't remember Bernie Kosar being a big recruit. He was a very good player. Vinny Testaverde?
Yeah, the big names are in that order are Jim Kelly, Testaverde, Walsh, Steve Walsh.
Oh, yeah, Bernie. Steve Walsh, yeah.
Nice run.
Steve Walsh and Ken Dorsey felt like same quarterback.
Yeah, it drops fast after that.
Yeah. Get a couple of phone calls in here. McLovin, what's the poll question we're going to do?
I have a really mean one that I don't know if he's listening. I don't want to bring it up, but
is this
I will.
Sam Darnold?
No, Sam Darnold. What do you have a good Sam Darnold one? Because I'm down with that.
No.
Too.
I just saw Pro Football Focus had his grade through first three games of the season.
Is it good or bad?
Well, 2018, Sam Darnold's grade after three games was 55. 2019, 48.7. 2020, 54.4. Sam Darnold's grade through the first three games this season, 81.2.
Huh.
But are you willing to pay him? Are you going to give him a five-year, $150 million contract? Because I would probably franchise him, but it's still early. Let's just see how this... He threw for 300 yards, had a couple of rushing touchdowns, but I don't know. How about we wait till the end of the season and we go, okay, are we, we're 10-7. Yeah, that sounds good. We're going to extend you. How about we'll franchise tag you? Yeah, McLovin.
They beat the Jets. They beat the Saints, which is impressive. Yeah. And they beat but the Jets and the Texans.
I know. That's why.
Anything off that.
I know. That's what we do. Like, oh my God, they're 3-0. Wait, who'd they play? Who cares? They're 3-0. You don't have to decide today. I know that the shows with the hot takes like to decide today, but I can make a fool out of myself, without trying to do it on purpose. Yes, McLovin.
I have a mean spirit. Okay, my mean spirit one. Are the Browns better with Odell Beckham Jr. on the field? There, I said it. He's supposed to play this weekend for the first time.
I don't think he makes Baker Mayfield better. At least he didn't. That because, you got this big personality. Comes over from the Giants, and he wants to prove everybody wrong. Well, how do you prove everybody wrong? You got to get your touches. So if you're Baker and you're a rookie or you're in your second year, you want Odell Beckham to like you. You want to use him. Well, I always thought Jarvis Landry was a better wide receiver for the Browns because I don't have to play to him. I can find him when I find him, great. But Odell, it feels like, would come back to the huddle and go, come on, I'm open, as every wide receiver normally does. And I wonder about that. They're a running team first. They should be a running team first. And then you use play action, and then you can take advantage of that. I just don't think you can come out and fire it all around the field and keep Odell Beckham happy. This program brought to you by Dollar Shave Club. Upgrade to a Dollar Shave Club 6-blade razor for a noticeably smooth shave. Thanks to their 6 precision-cut stainless steel blades, find your perfect shave. Dollar Shave Club. You can find them in stores, Dollar Shave Club, and also dollarshaveclub.com. We'll take a break. Got phone calls coming up. Booger McFarland will stop by. And David Carr's brother, or Derek Carr's brother, David Carr, will join us coming up a little bit later on as well. And Mike Florio is fired up about the taunting penalties. We'll talk to him coming up a little bit as well. Take a break. Back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. M Drive, do you want to join the community of driven guys like me who refuse to let age slow them down? You can do it. Start with M Drive. You can take the everyday supplement for driven guys who refuse to let age beat them. It's clinically tested, and they support healthy testosterone levels, and it helps maintain lean muscle, giving you energy that you need to fight back against aging every single day. Go to mdrivedan.com. Try it for yourself. This month only, take 20% off your first order. Promo code Dan. Free shipping. 60-day money-back guarantee. Nothing to lose. We know aging is inevitable, but slowing down doesn't have to be. MDrive will help you perform at your best with top-level T support. So join the community of driven guys like me. Take 20% off your order. Promo code Dan. mdrivedan.com. More energy, lean muscle, and healthy T support that your body needs. Make sure you take me up on the offer. MDriveDan.com, promo code Dan. Don't let age beat you. Refind your prime with MDrive. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. We'll settle on a poll question coming up. By the way, the NFL announces Wild Card Weekend. 6th and final game will be on a Monday night. As Albert Breer pointed out in his tweet, no need to overcomplicate this. Monday night is a better TV ratings window than Saturday at 1 o'clock. Moving Super Bowl back cleared the way for this, erasing the conflict with the college football title game. This is what the NFL loves to do. Let's just stretch it out as long as we can. Also, you know, when you have it where Sunday, Super Bowl weekend, and then you have Monday, President's Day, everybody gets a day off. We wanted to have that day off. Now you can have that day off, at least for this year. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com. Always great to talk to Booger McFarland, ESPN NFL and college football analyst, and part of 2 Super Bowl champion teams. Booger joining us on the program. Good morning, Booger. How are you?
DP, what's up, buddy? How we doing?
Well, we were talking about great running backs in college and how many carries the body has in it. You know, that Christian McCaffrey banged up last year, got hurt last night. I wonder if we're going to see the same for Zeke Elliott. Like, at teams pay them and you want to use them, but then you also have to be careful with how much you use them. What happened to the running back position?
Well, I think you guys are onto something with the carries. You know, I go back to the guys at Alabama. Remember Ingram and Richardson, and they just ran those guys into the ground, and Richardson was never the same once he got in the NFL. And you know, if you look at a guy like Najee Harris, who's in Pittsburgh now, Najee wasn't used a lot early on in his career. His senior year he was. And so I'm interested to do kind of a case study to see how he fares as far as the injuries are concerned. I think you could say the same for Leonard Fournette. I mean, Les Miles never met a run he didn't like, and he ran Leonard Fournette into the ground. So I agree there's only so many carries. And I think NFL coaches have to be smart because, you know, some of these old-school coaches want to practice full speed all week, and, you know, essentially you're playing 2 to 3 games as far as the wear and tear. Now, I know you're not getting hit, But, you know, when you're running full speed is full speed, whether it's on Wednesday or Sunday. So, yeah, these new school coaches have to do a better job of getting guys to Sunday. That's where guys like Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay, I think they do a good job with some of these veteran players because they're kind of a newer school. They really are not concerned as much about having 2.5, 3-hour practices during the week.
I'm wondering if Miami, the U in 2001, didn't have the best group of running backs for one season. Clinton Portis, Willis McGahee, Frank Gore, Najee Davenport.
That one was good. Take a look at, I don't have it in front of me, but what about Georgia when they had Gurley, Sony Michel, and there was another one they had. So Georgia, maybe it was Chubb?
Chubb was a freshman. Chubb was a freshman. But they had Chubb, Sony Michel, DeAndre Swift at the same time. USC had Reggie Bush and Lendale White. Oklahoma State had Thurman Thomas, Barry Sanders. SMU, Eric Dickerson, Craig James. Auburn in 2004, Cadillac Williams and Ronnie Brown. Arkansas, 2007, Darren McFadden, Felix Jones, and Peyton Hillis. Who's the best running back you ever faced in college?
Wow. College? I would probably say Stephen Davis. Remember the big running back from Auburn, Stephen Davis? Yeah, he was a load to deal with because not only was he fast, man, but the dude was 235, 240 pounds. Him, and I'm trying to think who else. He was about the only one, you know, because I didn't go against guys like James Stewart and Aaron Hayden that were at Tennessee. I didn't get a chance to see those guys. I missed those guys during the SEC cycle.
Do you think that we'll see a running back drafted in the top 10 over the next 10 years?
No, because I think that position has kind of, I'm not going to say it's devalued, but you realize even if you get one in the later rounds, the talent gap is not going to be astronomical. And so I think, therefore, why would you waste a top 10 pick on a running back, i.e. Leonard Fournette? Even Ezekiel Elliott has only given you about 2 or 3 prime years, and now I think Tony Pollard is a more explosive back in Dallas. So I doubt it. Maybe at the end of the first round, you may get one kind of like a Najee Harris around 22, 23. But I definitely don't think you're going to see one in the top 10 picks because the quarterbacks are too valuable, offensive linemen are too valuable, defensive linemen are too valuable, and running backs come a dime a dozen.
Yeah, but why is it that you can always find a running back? You don't say that. Maybe you say it about offensive linemen, but it feels like you can always find a running back.
Because I think when you look at the skill position and how guys are groomed and how guys are created in college and high school, everyone wants to play running back. So you get a lot of the best athletes playing that position. And so the volume of running backs to choose from is more plentiful than, say, a great quarterback, because you can only have one quarterback on the team that's going to play at one time. Or a great offensive tackle. Like, who wants to play offensive tackle in high school? Like, none of the girls want to date the offensive tackle. We all want the guy that touches the football and runs the ball. So I think that has something to do with it. Plus, I mean, let's face it. This is a 7-on-7 sport now, Dan. It's quarterbacks and receivers and tight ends. Even a tight end like a George Kittle, who is a two-way tight end that can block and catch. Like, those guys are being phased out a little bit. Like, blocking is not cool anymore. It's, hey, throw me the ball, let me catch, let me play DB where I can pick the balls off and go to the end zone. So it is a true 7-on-7 sport now that happens to have a few defensive and offensive linemen in it.
You can only watch one this weekend. Chargers, Chiefs, Buccaneers, Rams, Packers, Niners.
To me, that's easy. It's going to be Bucs, Rams, because I think that if both teams play at a high level, you could be looking at an NFC championship game. And I really want to see what Matthew Stafford is going to do because, Dan, think about the narrative. Is Matthew Stafford a good player, or should I say a great player that was in a bad organization in Detroit and never could kind of get his just due? Or was he a good player that just never could get the organization over the top? We're going to find out because he said, not his words, mine, he said, I want to play in big games. Yeah. I want to be in games that matter. Well, guess what, Matthew Stafford? You got your wish, buddy. Because this is a huge game. Tom Brady, the Buccaneers, arguably the most talented team in football, coming to your house, okay, traveling across the country, and you're going to stare the GOAT toe-to-toe. So we're going to find out whether Matthew Stafford can take the first step into what he talked about, which is playing in these huge games.
I felt like the media overreacted week one with the Packers and Aaron Rodgers. I didn't expect them to beat the Saints. I didn't expect them to play that poorly. But I think they overreacted in beating the Lions because I expected them to beat the Lions. I think this is probably more of a litmus test, you know, facing the Niners on the road than the first 2 weeks. What do you, how do you break down this game?
Here's the way I look at the Packers. The Packers are not as bad as they were in week one. They're not as good as they were in week two. If you look at their defense is not as good. Za'Darius Smith, he's injured, so they don't have any pass rush. Now, if you don't have any pass rush, what does that mean, Dan? That means that the back end of your defense, the secondary, is going to be exposed. And we saw Tom Brady expose his secondary in the NFC Championship game. Well, guess what? Other than Jair Alexander, this is not a very good secondary. So, yeah, their defense is not as good. And Aaron Rodgers, let's face it, he told you, he didn't play well week one. Didn't play well at all. So, when I look at the Packers, I think they ultimately can get back to where they were, but they are nowhere near there now. They're not running the ball as well. David Bakhtiari is not there. Their left tackle, he's out. Corey Linsley, who's the center, who's a very good center, he's now in L.A. with the Chargers. So the reality of it is it's not the same team, and it's going to take this team just a little time to gel and get where they want to go. I don't know if they are as physical as San Francisco wants to be. See, because the last couple times we've seen Green Bay, San Francisco, Dan, yeah, it's been like, hey, let me take my little brother behind the shed and just beat the hell out of him. Like it's been a physical bloodbath. Think about Jimmy Garoppolo. They beat the Packers, and he only threw like 10 passes that game, remember? So can Green Bay step up to the physical part of the football game? That's what I want to know, because if they can't, then in the back of their minds, regardless of what the rest of their season looks like, in the back of their mind, they're constantly going to say, yeah, we're good, but if we see that team, I don't know if we can physically step up or physically handle what they do to us.
You got the Eagles and the Cowboys. You'll be in Dallas for Monday night. What concerns do you have with the Cowboys?
It's still that defense. Think about this. America's team, all the money Jerry got, and the only thing we're talking about in Dallas is a rookie defensive player in Micah Parsons. Like, where's the help? DeMarcus Lawrence is hurt. The secondary still isn't great. Your best defensive player right now is a rookie. That's a lot to ask of a rookie. Now, the offense is going to be really good. Let's face it. The offensive line led by Zach Martin, Hall of Famer, they're good. Dak Prescott, if you don't think he's a top 5 to 7 quarterback in football, you need to give up your credentials. The wide receivers, when they go three wide receivers with Gallup, Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, there's not a better three in football. So the offense is going to be good. But, Dan, it's still the same question. Can they stop people consistently, especially with a rookie as your best defensive player?
Yeah, I just wonder. It feels like when you play for the Cowboys, you're better than what you really are. That all of a sudden, hey, you play for the Cowboys, you got to be good. And I've been saying all along, when they went 13-3, they were hiding a lot of that, you know, defensive ineptitude because they kept the defense off the field. Therefore, when they were on the field, you know, they were able to do some things. Now, you know, can they replicate that? Can they be that kind of team that wins 13 games? Therefore, you don't need to count on the defense that much. Almost like the Chiefs.
Think about week one, Dan. Dak threw for 400 yards and they lost. Okay, Dak threw it 50 times and they lost. Think about week two. They actually ran the ball more than Dak threw it and they won. So what you're saying is the Cowboys need to know how to play complementary football. Like, they need to know how to win games. It's not just a bit. Like, this is not Madden. This is not Meat Friday and we're sitting around with the PlayStation 5 playing video games and eating, you know, brisket. You actually have to put together a game plan to play complementary football. So how do I protect the defense that we all agree is not very good? Well, maybe Dak shouldn't throw it every down. Maybe, just maybe, he shouldn't throw 50 times. And so hopefully Kellen Moore and Mike McCarthy will figure that out, because if they don't, Dak will put up video game numbers, but they won't win a lot of football games.
You should stop in for a Meat Friday one of these days.
I would love to. As a matter of fact, I'm going to come to New York early on a Friday morning, and I'll land in New York maybe around 9:30, and I'll make it a point to come by. I don't even need to be on the show. I just want to come by and eat and just hang out and watch you do your thing.
What do you tell me what you want as far as the menu, and we'll try to prepare that for you.
I can tell you right now, I am a I am a brisket sausage guy. Like, I don't really need the sausage with all the cheese and jalapenos in it. Just give me some regular kielbasa sausage. Give me a nice brisket with a nice smoke ring on it, a little crust. I don't need it fatty or lean, kind of somewhere in the middle, and just all the Coke Zero you have. And I'll be as happy as a cat going outside for the first time.
Good to talk to you, buddy. Have fun playing golf today. Thanks for joining us, as always.
DP, anytime you need me, let me know, and I appreciate it, buddy. Thank you very much.
That's Booger McFarland. You can catch him in studio, college football throughout the day on Saturday, NFL primetime with Chris Berman on Sunday, as well as Monday night countdown in Dallas, week 3 on ESPN. A couple of phone calls in here. Jeff in Detroit joins us leading off the hour. Hi, Jeff.
Oh, my God. Thank you for taking my call after that man there. Listen, if Fritzy, if you don't get him on the show every time from now on, he was on fire. He said PlayStation 5. He cried. That guy is on fire. Listen, Dan, a couple of things real quick. My question to you is this. Basically, with Christian McCaffrey and Sam Darnold doing what they did yesterday, were the Jets just that bad with Sam Darnold? Because in 38 games, he only had 4 300-yard games. And then he does it 2 out of the first 3 games with Carolina. Was Carolina just, you know, that good? Is their defense just that good? Or were the Jets just that bad?
Well,
second question.
Oh, okay. Okay. Hmm? Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to ask you, second question, what do the Texans do with Deshaun Watson now? It's his price coming down. It's like having a Maybach in your drive when you can't drive it.
Oh, I know. To me, this is embarrassing. If I'm a season ticket holder with the Texans, I go to the Texans and just say, you know, just give me my money back. You're not trying to compete here. I know the guys on the field play hard, so I don't want somebody to, you know, a player to say that that they're tanking. This is managerial tanking. Like, why is Deshaun Watson not playing? Is he suspended? No. Is he refusing to? Okay, if he is, then why are you paying him $10 million? Did the league say you don't want to play him? You can't play him. What is it? Help, just, like, this is tanking. This is what this is. I mean, Davis Mills, a rookie, and he looked like a rookie last night. It feels like if Deshaun Watson was playing last night, they could have won the game. I'm not going to say that they would have, but they could have. I didn't think that Davis Mills was going to make them threatening last night. But, I mean, just say, the NFL can never, ever say, hey, you guys are tanking. I mean, the NBA does this, but the NFL, after this, what are the Texans doing? Tanking. Daryl in Tampa joins us. Hi, Daryl. What's on your mind today?
How you doing, Dan? 61225. Thanks for telling your story, the reasons why you left ESPN. I just had twin boys in May, and I just started 4 months of vacation and paternity leave.
Awesome.
Take some time with my boys. You're right. Can't ever get this time back. You know, my wife, she loves when I wear your shirt that I got off there, saying I'm trying my best, and I enjoy and I wear that anytime that she's giving me some stuff about what I'm not doing wrong. I mean, what I'm doing wrong with the boys. And I got a quick story for you about University of Dayton.
Okay.
Back when I was in high school, I went there with my girlfriend at the time and her family, and her sister told me these houses, that's where all the brothers live. And I thought to myself, is that where all the black guys live at? And I talked to my girlfriend at the time afterwards, and she said, no, that's where the priests live. I didn't know it was a Catholic school.
So you thought it was brothers, not the brothers.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And thanks for having the Billy Ripken card in front. He's from my hometown.
All right. Well, Daryl, keep wearing that shirt, because trust me, your wife is going to keep wondering, are you ever going to get this right? But being able to take that time with your little ones, awesome. Awesome. All right, we'll come back. More phone calls coming up. Settle on a poll question. But up next, it's Play of the Day here on The Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, 3-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast from.
Oh, my God.
The play. The play's called play. Of the day.
Runner looks like God.
Check this out.
Michael Hughes to kick. Rasheen Ali, the deep man, receives it at his own two. They look to set up the reverse. They fake it. Ali's headed down the sidelines. And Rasheen Ali is going to return this kick 98 yards for the touchdown.
That's courtesy of the Mothership. Play of the day brought to you by Dollar Shave Club. Ask for the Dollar Shave Club 6-blade razor for a noticeably smooth shave. Thanks to their 6 precision-cut stainless steel blades, you can find it in the store. Ask for Dollar Shave Club. Play of the day. McLovin, what kind of poll question are we going to go with today?
Okay, if you're out there doing one of those famous survivor pools, I'm going to read some games to you. You tell me which is the most sure thing. There's no way the underdog is going to win this game. Jaguars host the Cardinals. The Ravens go to the Lions. These are all the spreads that are over a touchdown. The Bills host the Washington football team. The Browns host Justin Field and the Bears. And the Broncos host the Jets in the biggest spread of the week at 10.5 games.
Who's so it? I have to pick a team I know is going to win.
Yes. Who do you feel most confident? The Broncos hosting the Jets. The Browns hosting the Bears. The Bills hosting Washington football team. The Ravens going to the Lions or the Cardinals at the Jaguars?
Cardinals at the Jaguars makes me a little nervous.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. Bills hosting Washington, Chiefs hosting Chargers, Browns hosting the Bears. Ravens at the Lions makes me a little nervous. I guess I would go Broncos in the hosting the Jets.
How weird is that? That the Broncos are the answer to this question.
Well, it doesn't mean that I'm signing off on the Broncos being great. I just like the situation a little bit better. They're playing the Jets. I mean, if the Broncos were playing the Chargers, Washington football team, or the Cardinals, I wouldn't be picking them. It's just they're facing the Jets. And do I expect them to do something that is unexpected? Yes, I do expect the Jets. One of these games where you're going to go, oh, okay, they seem to have figured this out, at least for this week. Ravens at the Lions. That one's a little tricky. Now, did Lamar Jackson injure his hip on the flip, therefore he missed practice yesterday? Because there were two different reports from Shefty. First was, hey, he injured his hip and he didn't practice yesterday. Then the team released a statement and said, no, it's a stomach issue. Undisclosed, and then I think Shefty had stomach issue. That feels like a cover two. Because do I think that Lamar Jackson got injured with the flip in the end zone? Yeah, I do. Yeah, McLovin.
You know, you get dizzy when you flip like that. It could upset your stomach.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay. Michael in Arizona. Hey, Mike, what's on your mind today?
Patrick, I was just calling in. It's my 65th birthday. And I believe Paulie's is today as well.
Yes, it is.
I was just trying to, I think I saw a bio on Paulie and his birthday was today. And then I'm a 49ers season ticket holder, and I watch a lot of the YouTube stuff, and I saw something about Frank Gore might be doing like a one-year deal or something, and which would be interesting. I think I saw him when he was there. And I think that would be great.
Well, I thought Frank Gore was, and thanks for the phone call. Happy birthday to you. I thought Frank Gore wanted to be a boxer. Wasn't he sitting out the opportunity to play football because he wanted to be a boxer? I believe I saw that story. Jason in Florida. Hey, Jace, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan, two quick things. The first, just because someone earlier brought up Dayton. Really quick, I was in Dayton last month for a wedding, and I was looking around town everywhere around campus. I could not find the Dan Patrick statue anywhere. So So I don't know if it's like, can you tell me if it's under construction or what? But
well,
anyway, that's,
they wanted to do something similar to the David. They wanted to call it the Daniel. And
okay.
Yeah. But they,
next time I'm in town, I'll go looking for it.
Yeah. They, you know, but Dayton frowns on nudity. And I just said, look, if I'm going to do a statue, I insisted on nudity and they were going to put it on campus. Yes, McLovin.
In reality, you are honored in the airport, though. Many people pointed that out to me. There's photo of you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What else do you have, Jace?
The other thing I quickly wanted to also add, you guys were talking about college backfields. You did bring up the one I wanted to bring up, Auburn, mm-hmm. with Ronnie Brown and Cadillac Williams. You know who else was in that backfield, though? Brandon Jacobs. Remember the big running back from the Giants? Yeah. He was in that backfield, too. Had a transfer to Pauley's Southern Illinois because he couldn't get any carries at Auburn.
Thank you, Jason. That's one of those guys when you meet Brandon Jacobs, and we went, oh, my God, this guy's a running back. He looked like a defensive lineman. In fact, I think recently he talked about coming back to play defensive line.
Yeah.
I'm going, hey, you could certainly fit the profile there. Dave in California. Hi, Dave. What's on your mind?
Thanks, Dan, for taking my call. 510. 187. I'm not sure if you, I'm a sports nut. So this weekend is pretty amazing. If you start with tonight, you know, I'm a Dodger fan. So we got the Dodgers trying to catch San Francisco. And then tomorrow early in the morning, I'm on West Coast. You got the Anthony Joshua fight. Then college football. Then USC 266. And then Sunday, you know, you got NASCAR and you got football. It's just a great sports weekend. You know, the man cave, I got that going, two TVs. So my couch is going to be working overtime. Just wanted to bring that up.
All right. Well, thank you, Dave. You also forgot the Ryder Cup that is already underway at Whistling Straits. Yeah, there's a lot going on. College football is scheduled a little wonky. Notre Dame, Wisconsin. I'm trying to figure this out, McLovin. Help me. Did Notre Dame start out as a touchdown favorite, and now Wisconsin's a touchdown favorite?
Well, actually, I saw it. I've seen opening spreads of that game at a pick 'em as Notre Dame minus one, and then Notre Dame minus two, and other one. It was really close, and now it immediately shot. I read the second it came out, it shot to Wisconsin minus 6.5.
Oh, wow. That's a big jump. That's at Soldier Field.
Why? I don't understand, because Wisconsin looked terrible against Penn State.
Yeah, but Notre Dame hasn't looked good. I don't know. Did Wisconsin look less terrible than Notre Dame has? A&M versus Arkansas, that's interesting. West Virginia and Oklahoma, that's about it as far as the marquee matchups. Yeah, Paulie.
Ohio State's given 48.5 to Akron, if you want that.
Actually. And they're going with their backup quarterbacks.
It's a healthy scratch, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, McLovin.
By the way, their backup quarterbacks are probably five-star recruits.
Oh, yeah.
He'll be in the NFL in 3 years.
Yeah, I know. I like how they, yeah, you know what? Why don't you sit this one out? Usually that, as a quarterback, you're like, no, I want to put up like five touchdowns, and then you sit me down for the second half. Yes, Todd?
When you call yourself the Zips, the odds are going to be stacked against you in any sports book, I would think.
Todd has a limerick, by the way, based off last night's game.
I happen to have a limerick. Yeah.
Do you want to do it now?
Or you hear the fake enthusiasm by the front row? Did you pick that up with the mic?
Yes! Seton was faking that.
Just trying to be supportive.
Let's wait.
Yes!
Oh, sorry.
No. Let's wait about 10 minutes, because this way I can let the audience sort of get ready for this. And it allows us to do a lot of
other
things.
By that, you mean like turn the volume
down? No. I'm going to look at the limerick during the commercial break. Oh, no. I'm looking at it now.
Oh, boy.
Well, we'll still try to do it. Close out the first hour with Panini America, the best trading cards you will find. You got the rookies, the biggest superstars, the all-time greats. There's only one place to collect them all, Panini Trading Cards, the official trading card of the Dan Patrick Show. Now, Panini is also the official trading card of the NFL and the NFL Players Association, utilizing iconic brands like Donruss, Prism, and Contenders to deliver instant classic trading cards to the most popular players. They have Trey Lance, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Trevor Lawrence, and many, many more. Also, autograph cards, memorabilia cards, rare inserts, hottest rookie cards. There's something for everyone in Panini America packs. You spell it P-A-N-I-N-I. The marquee matchups in week three could have a big impact on the football market. You got Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes squaring off, Kyler Murray versus Trevor Lawrence, Jalen Hurts versus Dak Prescott. Start or continue your collection at PaniniAmerica.net, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show.